As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty Show and T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, will have the latest for you. And the latest is 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Insperity Invitational at the Woodlands Country Club tournament course. I do want to get to the Astros and get you set up for that game. I'm looking at this thing. They're there all week and through the weekend. What goes down in Green Bay after, like, draft stuff? Like, outside of covering, like, what, like, just think of the last several years. We were there in Kansas City. You know, we got out. People got out. There was stuff. It's right, you know, downtown. It was in Detroit. There's stuff. I heard Chicago was something special. You know, after Marcus Spears and company and Booger, you know, kind of want to let their hair down, maybe go out. I mean, that just don't feel like there's that many options to go out there and just they don't have the heights. Like,
cheese tours.
Like, what? Like, cheese tours don't, they ain't open at 9, are they? At 10?
Maybe if they like to party.
What are they?
I tell you, cheese curds and cold beer, boy, you'd be puffy by the end of a 3 or 4 day trip. There ain't no doubt about it. I guarantee
even
you.
Even restaurants, like, ooh, what?
Yeah,
Have you been to Green Bay, right?
Yeah. We didn't get out much in the little actual city part. We stayed more out towards the stadium. There's only a couple of options. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I just don't know. Maybe you all have been there.
There's decent nightlife.
There's in Green Bay.
Yes, sir.
For this number of, like, for the...
Well, I don't know about for an event of this magnitude.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, there's decent nightlife maybe for a little bit for this.
Like, when I've told y'all I have all my family reunions up there in Green Bay, and we're able to get done with our family reunion events during the day and have some fun at night, but I don't know about a whole crowd of NFL draft people.
They got, like, a strip of places? Like, they got a little...
Yeah, outlet mall. I'm just kidding.
I just went up in my mind. No,
we went down to a little brewery down there that had some, like, a big outdoor area with some food. It was cool. It's a cool spot.
Good breweries.
You could tell that there was, if you're into that kind of thing, there's a bunch of that. I guarantee you, Booger's playing golf. He done found him a nice golf course right around there. If he's got TV time in the morning, he's got an off afternoon tea time. If he got TV time in the evening, which it looks like he's got right now, he's probably got him an early morning tea time. Get him a little Peloton action. Booger's easy going now.
Somebody texted and said people out there taking a trip to Milwaukee is what people are.
That's a drive now.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's like 90 miles, ain't it? That's a good drive. I'd do it. All right, let's look at it here as the Astros look to sweep the Blue Jays. They almost swept the Padres, where I was going. They almost had a chance to sweep the Padres. Weren't able to do that on Sunday. They're going to try to do that behind Ryan Gusto. Here is the lineup, Clint. seems another fun change in the lineup here. Altuve, Alvarez, they're at the top in left field and DH. Altuve's in left. Paredes is at third, bat third. Pena stays in that cleanup spot. Walker in that fifth spot after he had a big game yesterday with three hits. Diaz is still catching. DiCenzo, who had a really good game the other day.
Let's tore that hand up.
Yeah, hurt that hand, but he had two doubles the other day and looked good. He's going to be back in the lineup playing right field. DuPont gets a day at second base, and then McCormick is at center field. So that's going to be the lineup tonight behind Ryan Gusto. And it's good to kind of see, however it comes, we're not seeing Paredes in a home run, but we're not seeing a ton of power yet. But they are putting up runs, right? Last night they put up seven in the first game. They put up a good amount yesterday.
Five
is, you'll take that every night. So hopefully this offense, this means they're starting to get jump started.
Yeah, look, I mean, some of the struggles that we've seen, I'm not real worried about. Alvarez, not real worried about. Some of the young guys that have stepped up has been awfully impressive, but it's great to see Walker obviously come around, and I'd love to see him have another little decent night tonight. Just something, just a little spark, you know what I mean? And then Jeremy Pena, man, stay hot, young fella. I mean, stay hot. He is, I don't know if he's going to be able to jump Paredes and get up there in the top three, but the way that a spot has been shuffling this lineup and rewarding guys that are swinging the bat well, he damn sure deserves to be in the top three, because he is rolling, and the speed that he's shown, which we all knew he had, the speed that he's shown on the base pass last night, legging out a couple of infield singles. That's just, when you talk about manufacturing something, making something out of nothing, rough night, you're not seeing it well, you're not swinging it well, maybe the lineup's having a hard time getting people in scoring position, man, that Pena's going to be extremely valuable if he can continue to hit the way he's hit. Obviously, he's hot right now. There's, what is there, 14, 15 game hitting streak at this point in time?
Three hits yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's hot, but I'm just talking about the way he's been able to make something out of nothing a lot of the times. And I mean that could end up being big in this here lineup. So.
Yeah, he's not the prototypical four hole hitter. Not right at all. What you want, like as you said, a couple of his hits earlier today were infield variety, and he's getting on base and maybe stealing bases and moving on the base. But right now, with what's happening, I mean, you can't move him right now. Hopefully, he stays this way, and he adds to this, but. Yeah, man, he's giving them exactly what they need. You want Christian Walker to get going, and hopefully he's jump started yesterday. But you can't touch Pena right now.
That's right.
Like it, what he's doing. Also, Ryan Gusto, shout out to him. He has done. If I'm the captain, Joe Espada, and Dana Brown, he has done. I mean, you couldn't ask for more than what he's done being. Kind of thrust into this situation of stepping up and being a starter or jumping in the rotation for Spencer Arrighetti. Now he's not coming in and throwing no seven inning, no run masterpiece or anything like that. But he's kept you in games. He's not just gotten just absolutely destroyed where you got to go to the bullpen for seven innings or something. So if he could continue to just be solid, that's all they can ask for, and he's been able to do that. All right, so Astros look to get the sweep against the Blue Jays tonight. Stay tuned for
please,
that.
Please, Chaz, man. Please. Yeah,
they're above 500.
I'm just begging for something good to happen here for Chaz McCormick. I'm worried about him, man. He's on the ledge, boys.
I think he's going to lay down a good – he's going to in position lay down a good punt.
Oh, man.
Move somebody over.
Nah, he needs a big
maybe
night.
A sack
he
fly.
He needs a
Hold
on, night,
maybe a sack fly. Just do good thing, right? They say you just do – when you're struggling, just do one good thing for the baseball team at night. Fortunately for him, I think
he's been
he needs
trying
to do
that route.
I think, unfortunately for him, I think he needs to do a couple things to be able to have a chance to stay in the lineup. But good. What do you think Chaz has to do to be able to get into the lineup in 2 days when they play again in Kansas City?
Boy, he's gonna have a hard time.
He's got to get two or three hits.
With DiCenzo swinging it, unless DiCenzo's hands are more hurt and he can only swing it once tonight. Yeah,
Chaz goes 3-for-4. He's in the lineup Friday, right?
Oh, good chance.
If he adds a stolen base.
Problem is, Chad. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Center field and right field are his two spots.
2-for-4? No.
You'll come at me about white boy Chaz.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, we are hearing this, and there is a lot of smoke and a lot of smoke from big name people, from Tom Pelissero, from Diana Rossini, from multiple people. Albert Breer saying this as well. James Palmer saying this as well. This is coming from The Athletic with Diana Rossini. Nick Caserio has made at least three draft day trades every year and 18 total trades since taking over as the GM of the Texans in 2021. Don't be surprised if Houston makes a jump on Thursday night. Sources tell me, like I said, James Palmer has said something similar. Yeah. He even said he thinks they may be looking for an offensive lineman that fits what they're trying to do right now. It feels like, Clint, the day before the draft, I don't think it's just a coincidence that we're hearing this much action being talked about around the Texans potentially trying to make a move to go up.
Yeah, I don't think it's coincidence at all. I think the stars are aligned for them to do so. I think there's a need for one, if not two, plug-and-play starters. There's draft capital that the Texans have that they could use to move up if they so choose to do. They got an extra three this year, an extra two next year. Nick Caserio's done a good job of flipping that for to move up in the Will Anderson deal, to trade for Stephon Diggs. You know, there's always those extra draft picks he's used pretty wisely, and he's got a lot of value out of them. So that's there. And look, I do think while this isn't just a loaded draft at the top with quarterbacks and you know, top shelf wide receivers and all this and that, I do think there are players that can help the Texans team, and I do think that the Texans have their eye on a couple of players that fit exactly what they want. And you're not going to sit around and wait on them to fall to you. This is a chance for them to move. I'm betting they do move.
I wonder how far. What are you thinking? A big move, or are you thinking just a few spots to go up and get something?
Well, I think they've got enough to make a big move with that. Absolutely. Extra with that extra two next year and an extra three this year. I think you got it. You can move, you know, a good chunk. But I don't know what that looks like. I think there's enough really, really good players that they like that somebody's going to fall into that late teen range. That is somebody that's really, really high on their board and high on their overall board in terms of just being a high character guy. So I don't think they're going to have to move forward.
Like 16 Arizona, 17 Cincinnati, around that range. It feels like offensive line is where they're going. And to me, when you look at the mocks and the board, that sounds like they're going up to get a tackle. If that's what it is. I don't know if that is their most urgent need, but that's what it seems like they're doing, is to move up to get a tackle. So we'll see. There's someone text in, unless it's Tyler Warren, I'm good. That'd be nice. That would be a heck of a thought or dream decision there. All right. So that is the latest.
You want to talk about somebody stock that's up, huh?
It's weird.
He was top 10, you know, kind of waffled a little bit. Now all of a sudden they got him. Where's the Jets drafted?
Seven. Have you seen him there? I've seen him kind of move. I've seen the Bears be big, interesting. Cole Kmet's there, but I've seen the Bears at 10. I know he's not getting past the Colts at 14. They seem to have.
He ain't getting out of the top 10.
You don't think so?
No, sir.
We'll see. It got quiet on him there for a second, but then, and we'll see. And now you're starting to see that Colston
Loveland
from Michigan, the tight end.
Yep.
Moving in there with the Colts if he goes up earlier. But, yeah, be looking out, man. While we're out there tomorrow, we could really see, and I think hear even more, that the Texans and Nick Caserio are looking at making a move up.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, as we continue here with draft coverage, Cam Ward is being thought like, right, It's the field. Cam Ward's going to be in this division, right? That's where it seems like it is going.
Seems like it.
It seems like the Titans have said they have no interest in trading the number one pick. They feel like they are in a good spot of where they're going to go. I don't think there's going to be some sort of shocking surprise. I think they're going to go with Cam Ward. And Cam Ward has expressed and made it clear that his preference is to wear the number one. And I guess the number one is retired for the Titans because with the Houston Oilers, Warren Moon wore number one, and it's retired.
They do like to try to pretend Houston history is theirs.
I know that eats you alive.
Put those uniforms back in the trunk.
That's my favorite. God. Andre, if you're listening, I want you to know that is my favorite line, and you've had some great ones. Like, right shortly behind, it's every damn week with this guy. He didn't say damn. You ain't got to worry about that no more, Andre.
Every week, though. There's no excuse for that.
This guy. But Warren Moon apparently is considering allowing Cam Ward to get number one. I don't think they should allow him to consider it. I think they should say, Cam, you gotta go in a different direction.
Yeah, I don't know. If I were Warren, I'd probably be good with it.
You would be?
I mean, I wouldn't if it were the Oilers, if it was legit in use as the Oilers uniform. But I mean, it's in Tennessee. He didn't even wear that jersey. So I mean, he didn't wear that uniform for them. So yeah, I would probably say, all right, man, go ahead and do your thing. Go ahead and do your thing.
Nah, man, I need that retired, right?
I didn't know one was retired in Tennessee.
I think so. Anybody who is with the Oilers, their jerseys are retired with Tennessee. I'm assuming, right?
Oh, anybody that was retired.
Yeah, anybody, because it's their history. You got to try 11, man. You got to try you a different number, dude. what are we doing? There's going to be a receiver coming soon and be like, you know what? I love 80. Hey, Andre, at some point, man, let me hold that 80, dog. I really like 99, man. Let me hold that 99. Nah, man, you need to chill on that, dog.
Justin James, you son of a bitch.
We got to slow down. We really use that word a lot today. That got away from me today. I apologize for that. I thought I might get a text. All right. All right, coming up as we continue, big one tonight. Big one tonight here in Houston. Some would say must win. I'm going to give you three things that, one, I believe the Rockets are capable of changing and that they got to change for them to give themselves the best chance to win. That's coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, if you are like many of you, we had somebody text in and tried to lobby for more time for T-Mill's best bet. If you are going to be up and wait for that coming up, and Tyler, I don't know if you need to adjust your best bets, but those out there looking at the money line with the Celtics and the Magic, which I still think they're going to beat the living daylights out of them. But when you're looking at the Celtics and the Magic, which soon to be first team all NBA player Jason Tatum, who will be a top probably 5 to 6 finisher in the MVP, he has just been ruled out for tonight's game with that wrist. Just been ruled out for tonight's game. So if you had some money on that game, you might want to look at that, maybe look at that a little differently. We'll see. I wonder how much the line jumped. Like, I just
what was the line?
I don't know what the line is, but you two are gamblers. How much do you
use that term loosely for your boy over here? But yeah,
you look at lines and stuff.
I know what it is. Unfortunately,
how much of a swing does a player like that being out make? Like, because I know in the NFL, quarterbacks are the only thing that really swing lines. And Rob Gronkowski, I just remember one time he swung a line 3 points, which is usually,
you ain't never lied.
Which is usually for quarterbacks. But what would something like that change on the line?
Tyler, that's more up your alley, man.
Like a player like that getting hurt.
Who's the player? I'm sorry, Jason, I was at an ambassador.
Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum's out for tonight's game. I mean, it would change it, I would think.
Yeah, for sure. Man, basketball's tough. I could be wrong. I would guess 4 or 5 points.
Yeah, that seems like a lot. Yeah.
And that's what I'm hesitant about. I think if anything, that's too much. But yeah, I'd say maybe 4 or 5 points.
It's a significant thing. Like
they're minus 10.5 right now.
Minus 10.5? That's prior to?
No, I don't think ESPN had. If that was just announced, I don't think ESPN's moved it yet. I bet it drops it to 8.
Oh, a couple points. I was going to say 7, but.
That's a total guess.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, that game will be going on tonight, but the big game that is, I think, the big game of the day anyway, when you look at Orlando and Boston and Cleveland and whoever they're playing. It's Miami. It's like, let's get those over with, move on. This is a big one. This is a big one for the Rockets tonight. And I just, real quick before we get in there, you could jump in here on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, look like it's a safe space, legitimate. Like, how are you feeling as we're several hours away from first tip? How are you feeling right now about this game two for the Rockets against the Warriors?
I feel good.
You feeling good?
I feel good. There is no way on God's green earth that we're going to shoot the ball, particularly the two guys that handle it the most. There's no way they could. It's not possible for them to shoot the ball as poorly as they did in game one. And with all that said, the Rockets were within 3 points late and a couple shots away from taking a damn lead. So, I think the defense was there. I think the key contributors down the stretch made some shots. It's just these two guys, and I don't think that Fred VanVleet and Jalen Green have another game as bad as they had in game one Sunday night.
So you feel good.
I feel really good. Yep.
Yeah, you feel really good.
I feel really good about this game tonight. Yes, sir. Really good.
And listen, I can get it. Like, yeah, you shot poorly, right? There's a thought of, as you just said, like there's no way they are going to shoot that poorly. No way they can, like, they can even try to go 6 for 29 from three. Like no way. So I can understand where you at that point. I will say there are a few things to me that I think they're very capable of doing and should be adjustments in some form or fashion. And I think for me, Clint, the number one thing is they played way too much half-court offense.
Yeah. I think they've admitted as much, right?
Yeah, and I don't think that's their strength. They've got some matchup advantages, right? Like, and I think at the end of the game, it will slow down, and they will probably like be in half court. And then you've got your Şengün matchups. You've got some matchups, but they just didn't get out and run enough. We didn't see them take advantage of their quickness and youth and athleticism and run this thing up and down. They were down in fast break points, which is why I'm not saying that I don't think Golden State wants to have this a little up and down, but I do think they've got to find a way to get easy baskets. Like when you score 85 points, man, you're fighting it. If you watch the game, they were fighting it to get easy buckets. So I think getting in transition and speeding the game up, and then also I think that helps make Steph and Jimmy work even more on that other end if they're running up and down and wears them out,
yeah,
maybe late in the game. So yeah. I do think speeding up, getting in transition. I think one I know that you're into, and that's Amen Thompson. I think he's got to be a lot more aggressive, especially offensively. He has got to be a factor, Clint, in this game. Like I said, I think the stat for me that really blew me away was Amen Thompson, who out there played most of the game. Jabari Smith played a lot of the game as well. Those two combined to shoot less times than Fred VanVleet did from three.
Yep.
Like, I'm just like, not like right, not right. Overall.
They made fewer overall shots, and Fred VanVleet had three.
They took
attempts.
12. He took 13 threes.
Yeah, that can't be the case.
And I ain't gonna put that just all on Fred. Like, some of that is on Amen Thompson not being aggressive enough. And he's got to take advantage of his matchup. Got his feet wet. Now he understands it. And then to me, and again, I think they are capable of all of these things. This one I think is the most difficult, but I think they have got to try to slow one of the big two down.
Yeah.
Right. Like
easier said than done, but yes. You're correct. They're a defensive specialist team. I mean, they've got bodies to throw out there. They got very capable defenders to make those guys life more difficult than a typical opponent can, and they've got to win that, no question.
I got to make Moody make shots.
No question. I got a question for you. Arkansas, by the way. I got a question for you. B. Scott was talking about that double big lineup, and I like that double big lineup. I do like it. In general, I like it. I don't know that I like it as much as B. Scott, given that I want to see more Amen Thompson and Jalen Green downhill.
Well, I don't love it because
it clogs up the paint for those two to get to the rack.
And the running thing also, like, it slows it down with those two running the floor. Yeah. And to me, I think they can still rebound really well even if they don't have
Steve Adams, yeah.
Like, we saw them get dominant on offensive boards.
Yeah.
But I still think Jabari and Steven Adams and Jabari, whatever, I still think with Jabari and Amen Thompson, who is great size, I still think they would still crush them on the boards and get extra opportunities. I don't think they necessarily have to do that and slow their team down.
Yeah, it's. I look at the double big lineup. I do really like it, but in this series, I look at it a lot like I do Fred VanVleet, unfortunately, in a sense of like they've got their place, a very important role, no question about it. But it's to me, those are more reactions to your bread and butter not working, to all the stuff that you laid out there. I'm in Thompson. I'll add Jalen Green getting involved, the running and gunning, the speed, the tempo in which you're playing with. I like it, but I think it clogs up the paint for those guys getting to the rack and doing some stuff around the bucket. So I don't love it as much as B.
Scott. Not a lot. A lot of time, I think it's still something they could use, but not a lot. Right, unless they're just forced to and nobody else, nothing's working. From the text line, go look at the season stats of Green and VanVleet against the Warriors. It's not good. This isn't a one game thing. Yeah, B. Scott, if you missed it, he was on with us for his Rockets report at 4:40. He said that particularly with him, with Jalen Green, has struggled against Golden State. But I would say, to me, another big thing is Ime Udoka has to walk into this game and treat Fred VanVleet the way he has treated Jalen Green. And that is, hey man, Jalen ain't got it tonight. And if he ain't got it tonight, I'll sit him down and go in a different direction. He doesn't do that with Fred. I think you can't allow that to go on again. Especially, like, to me, if Fred don't have it going, right? Like, Clint, I can't understand. You don't have it going, and you got 13 three-point attempts. 2 for 13. You got 13 of them up. Like, Steph can go 2 for 13. He's Steph, right? Like,
yeah.
You just keep
That's
shooting.
That's reserved for certain
you
people.
You just keep shooting. Like, Fred ain't and I'm just keep going him up. Mm-hmm. Just keep going up with him. Just keep going up with him. So it'll be interesting to see what adjustments Udoka. And you said this yesterday that you feel like you didn't think Udoka was at his best in game one. And he's gotta pick it up with the decision making. And yeah. I think having these guys.
Well, I don't like the way that he's handling Jalen Green, given the rest of the given the counterpunch or the alternative. I just don't like it. So it starts there. I'll be completely transparent. It starts there. But you know, you're down 16, 18 points, and you've got a bunch of guys in the game that have really zero chance of scoring. Now, luckily, they played good enough defense, like elite defense. And Golden State couldn't score, so you got back in the game, and then Jabari hit a couple shots. But, yeah, I don't think – and then now we're seeing where, you know, I'm in Thompson coming out and saying, hey, man, we played slow. We didn't speed it up until the second half kind of deal. I think that is a game plan, and that explains some of the Fred VanVleet, you know, dominating the ball kind of stuff early. I think that all of that is Ime Udoka, man. I don't think it was his finest moment in game one in this series.
Next line coming in. We need to play Holiday and Reed Shepherd more. I don't know. Holiday at least has played in some. I know B. Scott brought that up. I don't know. Reed Shepherd. Someone just had replaced Jalen in with Cam. I'm not with that. No. Like those guys have not been guys that you have played in these moments and in one game. Like, I don't go in there and think, boy, they're that, like, those guys are the missing pieces.
No.
Right. Like, and I don't think Udoka is going to do that. I mean, they usually cut the bench down at that time. And he did that yesterday. All right. Coming up, we will get you T Mills best bets, make you a little bit of money coming up. Talk to you about what we're going to be doing tomorrow as we will be on the road. And speaking of that, the newest member said something that newest member of the Texans, said something I'm certain will get Texans fans extremely excited. We'll let you hear what that is coming up next.
All right, thanks, Tyler. Let's roll.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we got obviously a few huge days, more than a few, several huge days.
From a couple to a few.
I know. I just thought about it. A few huge. I started adding on the weekend to it.
Hey, we got the Rockets in a series, baby.
We got the Rockets in the series that starts tonight. We've got the draft tomorrow, and we'll be live at the draft. We'll be doing our show there, and we will be. We'll be handing it off as we continue right here on Sports Radio 610 with coverage throughout the draft, and we'll be handing. I talked to the boss. We'll be handing it right off to Mark Vandermeer and John Harris, and they will take over things and hold it down. It's in the same spot it was last year. So hopefully, see many of you out there. I thought last year was cool. They was selling a lot of the new. H-Town stuff, the new jackets and things like that. We kept seeing that around last year. So
there will be brand new merch out there.
Whoa. Oh, that is when that jacket dropped.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure what all that entails, but I know the Texans are releasing brand new merch.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to go get the new merch, but I'm pretty proud of the fact that I survived. I remember when my wife first saw that jacket, that female jacket that everybody's buying. She don't go berserk over too much athletic gear. She was like, I got to have that. I survived the year and didn't get it, boy. Save me a little bread.
There were a lot of gentlemen who did not survive it.
Ain't no doubt.
That I saw so many of those jackets.
Well, one of y'all buy me some of the new merch tomorrow when you're out there? I mean, I'll give you money for it.
Yeah, man, what you looking for?
Not that I've, ever bought, a lot of things for y'all. No big deal. But
We'll get out there tomorrow. I'll send you some photos, man.
We're too sorry.
Send you some photos of what they got.
All that guy does for us, man, he bends over. He does everything but bend over forward for us, man. And at least we could do is buy him a little something.
You don't have to, but, I would be
very excited. I'll hook you up, man.
I said I'm going to take the pictures of him. Do you know what you want? I'm just saying, you want to see the new merch, or do you?
I thought you were saying that you're just going to take pictures of all the new Texans merchandise and just send it to me.
No, you're going to send it to me and figure out which one you like so that I can buy it.
Yeah,
all right. That part just
sounds good.
That sounds good.
Hey, all right, we got a plan now. I think it's a great plan.
Don't be like my wife and order the most expensive thing on the damn rack now.
It doesn't really matter what money I got,
I'll do you a solid.
What we should do is you should send me these pictures of the new merch the Texans are going to have. And like at some point early in the show, I'll tweet them out and I'll get the Drive family to weigh in on what I should purchase.
Yeah, do that. Oh, there you go. There you go. Show them out there. All right. So that's coming up tomorrow. As I said, a big weekend. And then Friday, we will be reacting to what happened in the first round and getting ready for the second round. And we will be live as our crawfish circuit continues. And it will continue up north again. We had a good time out up that way last week. We will be at Blue Water Seafood on the northwest side up Highway 290. Come on out with us. And I'm just letting you know. You'll find out on Friday. But you won't want to miss going to Blue Water. And you won't want to miss going to the rest of our crawfish circuit. Because I'm telling you, there is a big, big announcement happening on Friday to go along with our new crawfish circuit.
Got a little something for all the people out there, don't we, Ron?
When I say big, all right?
Ain't no big deal, man. Another opportunity to win something.
Win a lot. Our couple who has been to all three, you got a chance here. Get out here and you got a chance to see and hear what that new announcement is. We'll do that on Friday.
Man, woman, or child.
And again, we'll be reacting. Mark and John and everyone else, John Pendergast, I'm certain will be a part of the coverage. They will do their thing Friday and Saturday, the rest of the draft, and you can listen to all of that right here on Sports Radio 610. That's all coming up. All right, CJ Gardner Johnson. We'll get to T-Mill's best bets coming up in just a bit. CJ Gardner Johnson had this to say, and I think many of you will be excited excited about hearing this. C.J. Gardner-Johnson spoke, and the first words he spoke about his thoughts of this team coming up next year.
Championship or nothing. He ain't bring me here to win no division or no conference. So if I'm here to help win the Super Bowl, that's gonna be the, you know, the reason. But I think people know. A lot of people look at this team and it's like, oh, you know, they got a lot of great pieces. But me to you, I think it's more than just a lot of great pieces. You have a great culture here, great organization. I think the more you fill this up with winners, not just me. Coach D'Amico was a winner. Dart Runner Darby was a winner. Will was a winner. So you just fill the room up with winners. I think you're going to get what you want. And I think we're going to get it real soon.
I don't know why that gets me every time.
Ronald Darby getting thrown in there?
But then he followed up D'Amico with Ronald Darby. Like that was the next name they hit him for some reason. Now they got me, but there he is. He said, championship or nothing. He said, this is, as I like to call it, a Super Bowl or bust, an S-Bob team. And I think that is exactly how and the way I think D'Amico is thinking. I think Nick is thinking, CJ, and that's how they should be thinking. They should look around there and say, man, we got some great players. And as he said, we got a great culture. That's what their thoughts should be. Is that what your thought is? Do you sense them as, I think the Super Bowl or bust teams are the Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Lions. And then I'm sure people in Cincinnati are probably talking themselves into that potentially. Maybe some people in Washington. Maybe some people in San Francisco. Do you see the Texans?
Well, I don't see the Texans as that. I think the teams you named in that second tier, I agree with your first tier of Super Bowl or bust teams. I think that all the teams that you named in the second tier there, it wouldn't surprise anybody if they made a run to a Super Bowl. But as you evaluate and analyze what's going on in their organization right this second, I don't know how you put them in the same category as those other teams, right? I mean, and Washington, I think, is probably the most convincing of, like, hey, where do they land? But I still, with just that one-year sample size, I still am not going to just crown them. I think, as you mentioned earlier, they're in a very similar position to what the Texans were a year ago. It's year two for their quarterback. It's year two for Cliff Kingsbury there. You know, they added some win now pieces on both sides of the football, and we'll see what they do, but I can't put them there. The other ones, when you talk about Bengals, 49ers, Texans, again, really good organizations, but I think they're pieces away from being in that category with that first group you mentioned.
Yeah.
So no, I don't look at the Texans right now as a Super Bowl or bust team.
Yeah, I think there's some questions, right? I don't like To me, those teams are disappointed if they don't get there, and at the very least, get there.
Yeah,
right. I don't think right now I don't look at the Texans like that. Mm-hmm. That I'm disappointed with this team if they don't make. I felt they were closer to S-Bob last year than they were this year. When you start to look at it and you say, all right, how good do you feel about their coaching staff? Feel great. It's a plus. How good do you feel about their play callers? D'Amico on one side, Bobby, and I'm saying coming into last year, Bobby, feel good about it. I feel good. How good do you feel about their quarterback? Feel like their quarterback coming into last year could play with anybody. What about their weapons? Joe Mixon, Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, feel pretty good about it. All pro level type tackle in Laremy Tunsil. Defense coming along. And then they add Danielle Hunter. Then they add Azeez. I felt more of that last year. More questions to be put in that spot. All right. Again, as we said, T-Mills Best Bets coming up. Remember, right after us, Texans All Access and maybe the best special teams coordinator in football, Frank Ross, also doubles as a barber. He will be on with the fellas on Texans All Access, so stay tuned for that right after us. Area 45, Bajani, Creighton, and Chris Santiago, 7 to 11. They will have you covered. And we'll talk Rockets, and we'll be watching that game and also the Astros as they finish things up. All right, let's make a little cash, Tyler. Last night wasn't good. I mean, it was 1-for-5. Let's just move on. Where are we at tonight?
Yeah, it was a rough Tuesday. But get back on track tonight. Feel really good about at least a few of these.
Tyler.
What?
Go ahead.
I got five best bets for you once again, and it's all NBA playoffs. plays for you again. Rockets, hometown team, leading it off with this one. -3, game 2, against Turd, Steph Curry, and the Warriors. Lock it in. Same game, Warriors-Rockets. I'm on the over heavy. Over 203.5 points.
That's the one I don't love.
Oh, man. Another over after that. Magic at Celtics over 197.
Now, I wonder how much Jason Tatum affects this, but Boston, I think, will probably shoot more threes, which probably gives them a better opportunity to put more points up. I like that one better.
Okay, over 197 for that one. And then two-player props, a hometown kid, Jalen Green. I think he answers that horrendous game 1 performance and has himself a good night tonight against the Warriors. Over 18.5 points for Jalen Green. Might be my favorite bet of the night.
No, it can't be. This one is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, reliable. We've all won some money on this prop this year. Jrue Holiday for the Boston Celtics. Over 4.5 rebounds. He'll have that by halftime, maybe. Lock that one in and get you some money on a Wednesday.
I hope Jalen Green plays well. I can't trust him on bet.
You ain't wrong.
18.5, though. 18.5, and it's at low, plus man. 100.
I know. It's been 23, 24 all year. Right, T?
Not really.
Yes. Not low 20s is where it was found more often than not.
I don't know. Because I don't think he goes 3 for 15. I don't think he's going to get a chance to get to 15.
Yeah, you're right. You'll know in the first quarter, boy.
I don't know. He might rip him. All right, here we go. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Shout out to Brandon Scott. Texans All Access after us, Area 45. After that, I am Ron. The show is always Houston. We love you, baby.
I mean, it's
and I just gotta admit the amount.
He's got to be exhausted with it at times.
Tyler, the amount of times I walked stuff back to the rack.
Nah, I can't do it.
With gift cards.
I wish I was surprised.
Not one bit.
Lauren does have to get some new guitar glue, and that don't have anything to do with these gift cards. That's it. Like I was my parent. I said, Ronald, stop, in my head.
Drive's busting this day open.
Busted wide the hell open, ain't it?
And we're telling them to bring it back.